This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
In the Loop, right here on Sports Radio 610, as I fumble to put my own earbuds in. John Lopez, Reginald Atitula, Figgy, Fig hanging out on a funky Friday. Where are we going here?
This just Curtis Mayfield. And this song, I always remember this song for being on the movie Friday. This was actually on the movie Friday.
For some reason, this Curtis Mayfield didn't hit me, but I like it. All right, let's do a little mock draft check-in with the Texans. It's been a little while since we've done that. We were talking a little bit earlier in the week with our guy Charles McDonald a little bit about some of the players that have been mocked to the Texans. But I wanted to take a quick look at a couple of mock drafts, including one that I find to be a really interesting proposition. But I looked at, I think, three of them that have happened recently since after the Texans acquired Cam Robinson to see if I could get a little bit of a feel of what some of those folks are saying about the Texans. And first, I'd actually like to start with Yahoo Sports and an NFL mock draft, 7.0, in fact.
Seventh mock draft
from Nate Tice. We heard from him earlier in the show. Nate Tice, again, very good guy covering the draft. And in his seventh edition of the mock draft with the 25th pick, he has the Texans taking Gray Zabel. Now, you remember, he had some criticism of this offensive line thus far. In fact, if you don't mind, Figgy, can you give me here? This is Nate Tice just talking about the stopgap acquisitions that the Texans have basically had, their offensive line ones.
You know, I'm fine with having good personalities if the guys are at least average, but Cam Robinson was outright bad last year. Outright bad. This is just eye test. Ed Ingram, who they signed, and Texans fans are going, he's not starting, he's depth. He sucks at depth. He was the worst. He allowed the highest pressure rate of guards, and that completely matches the eye test because he is terrible. He has yet to show any semblance of being a good player or even a tolerable player at guard in the NFL. Like, he should be off rosters. Then going Lakin Tomlinson. Supposed to be a great guy, leader, all that stuff, really has tailed off. Just especially some of the places he's been recently. But the Seahawks last year, he allowed the fourth highest one-on-one pressure rate among all guards. He was part of the issue in Seattle last year amongst all the other players.
So that's clearly high praise, right? But with that being the case and with that being the framework, he obviously is going to take offensive line here, right? He thinks that needs to be the place where it goes. And he said, you know, with Lakin Tomlinson or Ed Ingram, that can't be the plan, right? So at 25, he has the Texans taking offensive lineman from North Dakota State, Gray Zabel. And it's because Zabel has played all over the offensive line and would give the Texans or any offensive line the ability to play their best five.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's center or guard, he would give C.J. Stroud and the Texans some offensive steadiness. And as much as, you know, he is coming down hard on the offensive line, I do respect what he's coming to here on the backside, which is Gray Zabel does have some flexibility, right? We were talking about it. I mean, he might be as close to a pet cat as our guy, John Harris, has, because he's shown an ability to compete at a high level. He looks good. The only real question is, like, what's the talent level he's played against?
Mm-hmm.
But his ability to play at various different places, especially as we continue to try and figure out what's the best configuration of this offensive line. If you talk about competition and getting, you know, figuring out who's the best, having a little flexibility with the dude that you know can drop in and be a day one starter, I think matters.
Absolutely. And I think Gray Zabel, I mean, perfect world. I think if you polled most people close to the Texans, and certainly Texans fans, because he's gotten so much run, would be sort of that versatile guy that can really find a home and maybe excel. And certainly on the inside is where he would start. I also want to know what Ed Ingram did to him. He hates that dude.
Like, he peed in his cornflakes once.
I'm telling you, man, he shouldn't even be on a roster.
Wow. Yeah, I was like, Nate gonna mess around and find some haters in Houston on it without really even trying that hard. But yeah, like, I kind of like what he's going for there. Gray Zabel, I found it hard to see any like negatives in the possibility of selecting Gray Zabel this draft for the Texans.
No.
I think the only thing that would maybe serve as some level of hiccup is, does Nick Caserio have a type? Like, is his type going to be typecast in a way?
Yeah.
Where every time that Nick Caserio puts in a card, the logo on that card better be from a Power 5 conference, right?
No, like, he does have that type, like, especially the SEC.
Right, and I don't know if you know this, North Dakota State.
Not the SEC.
Not that.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, like, and if Gray Zabel, there's been so much glowing said about him that you hope that maybe that would not be something that stops him. But if it does, how about this from the CBS Sports mock draft that came out recently? Again, this is after the Cam Robinson signing, and this one in particular is from Josh Edwards of CBS Sports. He puts together a mock draft that has at 26 the Texans, or sorry, 25. Mm-hmm. Goodness, they did not trade back
already.
But at 25, he has them taking Kelvin Banks Jr., saying that the signings of Cam Robinson, Lakin Tomlinson, plus the addition or acquisition rather of Ed Ingram does not excite him about the future of the offensive line. However, it gives some options with the extensive history of starting in the NFL. And that's a point to start with, so you can go to best player available. Offensive line would clearly be a priority. And he goes, puts those things together for a Kelvin Banks Jr.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
I love Kelvin Banks Jr. You've probably picked up on that already. I think, but I also wonder, is he a guard? Can he be a guard?
I think he can. We were talking to Charles earlier.
Because he's going to be drafted as a tackle.
Yes,
and
he's
I feel
to
as
be a
if
tackle.
The Texans probably feel pretty good about, well, as good as you can feel. They need to prioritize the interior.
They do. They really do. Interior pressure is a killer in the pocket. And
can he do that?
What, be a guard?
Yeah.
I think so. Like, that was one of the things that we were talking about with Charles. He was mentioning the idea of he feels like a dude that has a little bit of mobility there where he can be a guard and then eventually move out to tackle, which I do wonder if that's something that would work for the Texans, because the restructure with Titus Howard makes me wonder how long they are in the Titus Howard business.
Well, that's true.
Right? Is that a year? Is that 2 years? Because if it is like a relatively short term, especially if you still have him at some level of tackle or whatever, Cam Robinson is only a 1 year proposition. Mm-hmm. Could you have a Kelvin Banks who comes in and has the physicality to play guard for a year before sliding out to tackle as like a future tackle for you? Because again, I think that there's a lot of consideration that also still needs to be given for what does this offensive line look like in 2-3 years as you continue to try and contend with CJ Stroud, and having two guys that you feel like could develop into your tackles in the future could be really cool in Blake Fisher, and then adding Kelvin Banks.
Because if you could feel confident that he'd slide right in, play guard, not necessarily have any kind of learning curve or whatever, then yes, you know, sign me up for that. Maybe even over Gray Zabel. Probably over Gray Zabel.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so that's how you're power ranking him thus far?
Probably.
And real quick, I know that I think it was Seth had been talking about the possibility of like maturity issues for Kelvin Banks. I tried to reach out to a friend of mine who works down there in Austin, has a little bit of insight into those things. And he said that the kid seems like he has a good head on his shoulders. It's always been pretty solid. I know that's not the end all be all by any means, but it seems like he was like, I don't see that from Kelvin Banks Jr. if that is a concern for you. All right. One more mock draft here in our mock draft check-in. And this is from Mike Band, NFL Network. And this is a very particular one, a type of mock draft, because this isn't just another kind of draft media scout. Mike Band is a next-gen stats researcher and analytics person. And he said for the 21st consecutive year, he assembled a mock draft ahead of the NFL draft for NFL.com. And the approach is research-driven. So he blends insider reports. So again, it's going to factor in some of those other reports. And I wonder if that factors in so much of the stuff that's happened hitherto, like, or before this. Hitherto is not right. But before this, that, you know, didn't have the benefit of seeing the Cam Robinson signing or some of the other acquisitions. But he blends those team needs, scheme fits, and organizational philosophies to create odds.
So he's going data-driven probabilities.
Data-driven probability. So he has not only a selection, but then he also has...
I actually kind of like it. I'm intrigued.
He has the probabilities of the position that they draft with their first pick. So with 25 for the Texans, he has the Houston Texans taking Emeka Egbuka. He still has them taking a wide receiver here, obviously citing the idea of Tank Dell's injury and all that, the needs there. And he's still actually in his write-up, he still talks about Titus Howard being solidifying the left tackle. So clearly this mock was put together
before
the Cam Robinson signing, although it came out yesterday. The probabilities, though, I think are the interesting part of this. He sets the probabilities of the Texans drafting three positions. Those are the three highest positions. What do you think the three highest positions are that the Texans are drafting according to the research-driven Mike Bend mock draft?
Well, I know guard or interior lineman and receiver.
So offensive line, wide receiver, and what would be the third position that you throw in there?
My heart is kind of telling me tight end.
It is not tight end.
Yeah.
It's defensive line.
Yeah, I figured.
And here are the percentages. 49% offensive line is where he goes data-wise. 23% wide receiver, and a slim 9% that they go defensive line with the first pick.
I think that's probably accurate. Let's put it this way. I don't know accurate. I didn't do any research. I would agree. I'll put it that way.
And it's interesting because, again, he leans there while saying that the odds lean heavily towards the possibility of offensive line there. He goes with Emeka Egbuka, like a wide receiver to go and add into this. A wide receiver that, interestingly enough, like there's not anything that you go, man, that is excellent in his report, but he just kind of gets it done. That kind of wide receiver. I do find it interesting because it does feel like and maybe Christian Kirk has like the speed element to this, where
right, so you can afford to maybe go with the guy that you feel runs good routes, reliable,
right?
You know,
and maybe I'm being a little bit of a hater or what have you, or maybe I'm being asking too much. But it kind of, I've kind of just gotten to the place in my mind where I've expected whatever receiver you add, I kind of would like a speed element still, because again, CJ Stroud has such a good arm and capability of bombing on folks that you would still kind of want that. But maybe you consider the possibility of return of Tank Dell in the future and saying that you don't absolutely need that.
I think. Well, first of all, in general, I think the Texans went into this offseason thinking we need more speed just in general.
Yeah.
So that's maybe where your head is.
Yeah.
You saw this team. They were, I mean, they had speed, but they weren't a real fast team, you know, overall. So maybe that's what's in play there. But my other thing is, I think wide receiver now after these moves is absolutely, we talked about it yesterday. I think it's absolutely in play that wide receiver could be the pick there.
Now, there you go. So it's a little mock draft check in here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. I found that to be interesting. I'm going to hold on to those percentages because I do find that that's kind of going to ring in my mind, especially because we got to a point with this offensive line where we were like, oh, actually, it's high. I think we probably would have said 60-65% the offensive line.
At least.
Looks like 49, but there's still that solid possibility of a wide receiver first round, according to Mike Benn. We'll see how he actually comes through with this. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping here. And there's the possibility. There looks like somebody has stepped up. One champion has stepped up to possibly bring back hockey to the city of Houston. We'll talk about that more.